This is Brian Belaga. You're listening to 94.5 ESPN.
94.5 ESPN is WKTI and WKTI HD Milwaukee, a locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
The crunch is on.
What crunch?
Try to get those presents purchased, pal.
I'm so out on forced gift giving.
Why? Huh? Who do you have to get a gift for?
Everybody. No, it's just... See, I like giving gifts just on the whim. You know? That's my style. Because most people that you have to get gifts for say, oh, I don't need anything. And I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, so Josh, I guess we just got to keep waiting for Chewy to give us a gift on a whim.
But, like, I'll give you an example. We all know Angry, friend of show, right?
Yeah. Angry, who is one of your neighbors down there in Tampa.
Let me ask you this. Can you be a curmudgeon without being old?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so he's a curmudgeon.
Absolutely. So... I mean, usually the age has led to you being curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
But you can hit that at an early age, I would think.
Right, I feel I'm curmudgeon adjacent. I'm not.
Yeah.
That old.
Oh, you're trending. You're trending.
No. He's pseudo curmudgeon now.
What do you mean pseudo?
He can't fix a car or a water heater or things like that. I mean, you got to be able to do that stuff to be a curmudgeon.
Do you?
Yep.
I don't
now,
think
do you
so.
Know angry, what a curmudgeon means? Use your little computer there and Google that.
If there was a curmudgeon for technology, that would be you. But Angry can fix anything. He can fix a car. He can fix sprinkler systems. He can do it all.
So I don't think you know what the word curmudgeon means.
No, we're stuck
here. I want you to get off my back.
I also can fix a car, by the way.
Yeah, because of the technology. You probably hook your computer into a little thingamajigger and you print it out. And yeah, anyone can do that. You know? Try putting together a car.
No.
You know?
When's the last time you did, by the way?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I used to work on tractors with my buddy back home, right? That was my job for a summer. I would take out the cracked cylinders and have to clean
it. And how long ago was that?
I was 17.
Okay.
hey, I have not put regular gas in my diesel, okay?
Off the top of your head, how long ago was it since you've been 17?
30 years.
Yeah, well, we'll go with 30. Yeah, let's go with 30.
All right, so here's my point. In Econimlock, right, the Angries come for a weekend in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this secondhand store in Econimlock where me and Ange went in, and for some reason it had a ton of actual Miller Lite coats from the brewery.
Okay.
Old, worn, you know, you could see where it's faded from the nameplate being on it.
Sure,
right?
But they obviously took the nameplate off when they donated it to the store.
And you guys would love them because it was the Miller High Life symbol on the back.
Oh, baby.
My grandfather has a few of those.
So I have one. So I bought one, and I'm like, you know who would love this? Angry.
So you got one for Angry?
Yeah. Because it just popped up. That's the kind of gift giving I like. Things that just pop up, and it'd be perfect for this person.
So then did you give that to Angry right away, or are you saving it for some sort of occasion?
No, I gave it to him.
You gave it to him right away?
No. That's why I don't like the forced gift giving. I'm not a fan.
So who do you have to get gifts for? Like, who is on your list of people you have to get gifts for? Obviously, your wife is on this list, especially after the suit incident.
Yeah, the wife,
although,
the kids.
Because of the suit incident, maybe you don't have as much to, spend on her.
But my wife's one of those don't get me anything type of things. And then Christmas rolls around and she buys her own stuff, which I do for her. I like Anatech, Gabe. You know I love Anatech, right?
Yeah, type of hood. So it's like a lightweight hoodie. So I've got a row back on today,
awesome.
Very similar. It's a lightweight hoodie, and yes, they're great.
So they had a ripping sale like first week of December.
Sure.
40% off.
Sure.
I'm like, you know, I'm going to buy a bunch
Cyber
of
Monday,
so,
yeah.
So they came, and I'm like, you know what? I ain't going to open them now because I don't need them. I'll give them to her to say to give to me on Christmas. Right? Now, I expect her to what do the same thing.
Wait. You're buying your own gifts and then giving them to her and saying, hey, wrap these and put these under the tree with my name on them?
Yes. But here's the difference, Gabe.
Okay.
Like, she does the same thing, but then she can't control her mouth on Christmas because she tells me to do it. She's like, I'll give you an example. She bought a leather coat. We went to the outlets down here. Outlets down here are awesome. They're really good.
Okay.
So she got a leather coat, and I'm like, hey, just wrap that up for Christmas and say I gave it to you. She's like, okay, that's a good idea. But now on Christmas, she can't hold her mouth because it's in the morning. Nice of you to buy me something. I'm like, so I approach Christmas like I can't win, which is fine.
I feel when most I situations them. You can't win.
That's why when's the mimosas start. The mimosas on Christmas Day start at 8:30, Gabe.
I mean, I just want to get a win for the big guy here. It seems like it's been a while since you've had a win in the household.
Yeah, I
pal.
Really haven't.
Like, we got to end the losing streak here. Like,
I know.
Pretty soon, you're going to be. People are going to start comparing you to the Washington Generals.
Yeah. So then, with the family, everyone gets a name on Thanksgiving, and you have to spend X amount of dollars for that person, right?
Yeah, so we do a secret
Santa.
So
what fun is it? I got Angie's brother,
mm-hmm.
and like, what do you want? He's like, get me a Roomba. You know what a Roomba is?
I'm familiar. I didn't realize Roombas were still like a thing.
I guess they upped the technology with AI and all that, and they're like really good now.
It's making a comeback.
Yeah, they map out your house perfectly.
What fun is it?
And
I mean,
send that
Gabe,
information
what
to other
fun
people.
Is it? And Josh, what fun of it is it to get a gift that you know you're getting and open it? You have to do the fake thing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, I wanted one of these. Yeah. So I just like the casual gift giving, and there's no reason to give it. You just, you know, give it to someone.
Which I get, right? And I respect. And I do that. Like, I feel like I do that on occasion for my wife. Like, I just see something like, oh, yeah, she would love this. And I grab it and bring it home to her. But I still, like, come up with something to give her. Like, she doesn't know what I've gotten her for Christmas.
Well, I was going to save this for later.
Oh boy.
I need a input from you two here.
Okay.
I got some small stuff for Saint Nick. Nothing significant.
See, another made up holiday.
Very much so.
I never heard of
but
it.
But I know
Massachusetts. That and Sweetest Day, I had never heard of in my entire life.
So Sweetest Day, I feel like, was invented in the 90s.
Yes, that one.
St. Nick's is, it's a very German thing.
Yes.
So that's why Wisconsin specifically, not even just a Midwest thing, Chew, like Wisconsin specifically has the tradition of St. Nick's because of the German population.
Because when I was a kid, sorry to derail you here, Joshy, but when I was a kid, Christmas morning, we got the stocking.
Yep.
We got the stocking. And then you open that because you're up at 5 in the morning, and then the parents wake up, and then you open the presents. But here, you get the stocking on St. Nick's Day?
Well, now St. Nick's is something different, because we did, my family always did, like, there was something in the stocking for St. Nick's. But a lot of people, because the old tradition is, you leave your shoes out, and St. Nick will leave something in the shoes.
Oh, never heard of that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, like gold coin candy and oranges and things of that nature.
So last year I got something for St. Nick, and I thought, well, now I feel bad. So I got something, got a little gift, a little addition to, you know, the mystical man that stops by. And I gave it, and I was instantly informed, oh, I already have this. So that was no big deal to me. What is what it is. I had no way of knowing that this thing was already in possession.
Yeah.
So it was a good gift. It was just a gift I already had, not needed. Now we have an extra. Yesterday, I realized that gift had made its way over to the pile of gifts we are going to be giving to other people.
She's regifting.
And I thought,
nothing wrong with that.
Regifting a gift I gave when I could just return said gift and get the, it's not like overly expensive. It's under $20. Yeah, yeah. But there was no conversation about it being regifted and, oh, I don't need this, but X, Y, and Z, this would be a great little addition. And I was wondering, is that out of line? Does there have to be a conversation if a gift you've given somebody who lives in your house is being regifted?
Being regifted less than 3 weeks later, I think. Do I think it's over the line? No. But to steal from Wilde and Tausch, it's in poor taste. It's IPT.
I don't think so. Because I just had the situation because the Angries went away for a week at BVI and they bought me a nice, you know, the swim shirts or the fishing shirts?
Yeah, sure.
Really good one. So I kind of messed up, but because I ripped the tags off of it and stuff and then put it on, and it was a schmedium. Way too tight. Okay. But I ripped the tags off, so I'm like, I'll just give it to Dyson for Christmas. But he knows I smell, so I'm going to have to say, look, it was for me. So that's why I ripped the tags off. I just put it on to try it on, and it didn't fit.
Sure, so. But I also feel...
And it's a very nice one.
Again, I feel like this is something a little bit different because at least someone in your family is still using the gift that somebody outside of your family gave you.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody in Josh's household whom he purchased the gift for less than 3 weeks later, after not even talking to Josh about it, is trying to re-gift it.
Uh-huh.
I think that's fine. I'm big on the re-gift.
Well, we know you
no?
are.
No? Joshy, were you hurt?
No. I just thought it was funny, and I'm... Yeah. It was placed in a spot where we're keeping other gifts. So it's not like it was secretive.
Yeah.
It was just there was no announcement of, oh, so-and-so could really use this or this would be great for them. I just, as because the place I get ready every morning is where the gifts are. It's located in the same room.
Yeah.
And I looked over and I said, huh, that's a new addition over there. That looks like the thing I just got someone in this house.
You want to hear a funny story?
Always.
So this is probably like my probably third or fourth year with the Packers. Andy would always get son of a buck a Santa outfit, and then he would ask anyone on the team that had young kids,
sure,
that he'd come pound on the house, and we were supposed to have the kids run over to the window, and they would see him running away and down the street in a Santa outfit.
Would you have to pay for that?
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
That's great.
Huh?
That's great.
Not a good story?
Well, I feel like we're also starting...
Andy's...
My problem right now is I feel like we're starting to wander into territory that I don't want to wander into.
Very much so.
Yeah. Josh can explain it to you off the air.
Yeah.
What? What's wrong with that story?
I think it's a fantastic story, Chew. But there are probably people driving their kids to work. Or driving their kids to school on their way to work.
It's not clicking for him.
Nope. You can explain it to him off the air. Explain it to him off the air.
This was like 9 o'clock at night.
I just turned him off. We're moving on.
No, I know it's 9 o'clock. It's not 9 o'clock at night right now, Chew, is what I'm saying. 7:13 in the morning. His microphone is off. He has no idea. Because he can hear himself. He can hear me. He has no idea that I can't hear him.
In my lifetime.
It's just saying off air that he's never been so lost. You won't be lost when I talk to you off air.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's go to commercial.
Yeah, this has been completely derailed. I had such high hopes for this. We dive into the Packers. Adam Schefter going to be joining us later. What did he just do?
He said, oh.
Wow, that went so far over my head.
Hopefully we did a good enough job. It went over everyone's head.
Yep, that's what I'm hoping. Maybe this gets erased from the podcast and it just nobody ever listens to it ever again. Who knows? But we get into Packers Bears next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Wendorf Wednesday.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do. Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the Jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Yes, where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
He meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's It's a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Wendorf & Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate early so their clients win, no matter if it's buying or selling. Get started today, wendorfteam.firstweber.com. DJ in the Saw hits us up on the Carpool's Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. Thanks for ruining Christmas, Chew. Now all I've got to keep this as a top five holiday is Jesus. Again, from DJ in the Saw. That is a deep cut from DJ. He is a long-time Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listener.
That's on me. But sometimes, don't you guys get, like, you don't realize people are listening? It's just the three of us in a coffee shop? I had no idea what the hell you were talking about.
Yep,
what? That's a good story.
We should just move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to Chew's defense, I think that's...
When people come up to me and say, how's Mussolini? You forget that there's thousands of people in the audience that refer to your significant other as Mussolini. You know, sometimes that one's a little shock to the system. It's funny to us, and then it gets said in public. Like, huh? I don't know if I fully weighed out the ramifications of that.
Before you start. But now here we are. Yeah. We're too deep in the bit, Josh. Yeah. We can't back
too
off
late
now.
Why do I get myself in trouble constantly?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said, we got to find a way to get you a win because it feels like it's been a minute since you have gotten one. But I realized something yesterday, Chew. We were talking about with Jason, and we brought this up on Monday as well, because you guys obviously had Reggie, a generational pass rusher in the 90s, and Reggie suffered what was thought to be a season-ending injury against the Cincinnati Bengals in 1995. Now, Reggie eventually came back, played the rest of the season. As you noted, he was still Reggie, but he wasn't quite Reggie, but he was still a very good player. You guys, also in that very same stretch, are dealing with what the Packers are dealing with now. You guys played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You won that game at home.
Yeah.
Then you played the Cincinnati Bengals, the game in which Reggie got hurt. And then you played Tampa Bay again. You played the Buccaneers twice in the matter of 3 weeks. I was going to ask you what it's like to prepare for that, but apparently you don't remember. This is like the one game in your career you don't remember.
Well, let me tell you. Let me ask you a question, Gabe.
Okay.
Is that the Cincinnati game where I had like 7 catches for 109 and 1 touchdown?
Hold on. Let me open up the box score here from that game. You had 7 for 109 and a touchdown. Yes.
Okay, I kind of know what happened the next week then. I probably didn't even have a catch. Or I had 1 for 6 yards.
1 for 12.
Yeah, there you have it. I do not remember that game at all. I remember the Cincinnati game. Does that make me
because
a front-running Jesse?
Yes, it does.
I guess it does.
Well, but the crazy part is that we've been doing this show together since 2019. You and I have been doing a morning show here on ESPN Milwaukee since 2019. And like anytime I've brought up just about any game, especially from like this era, like 95, 96, 97, when you guys went to 3 straight NFC championship games, went to back-to-back Super Bowls, it seems like you remember every game. So when I was going over this yesterday, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Chewy's going to provide us with great information of how they got ready for Tampa the first time, how difficult it was playing without Reggie, but still trying to get ready for a game. And you guys, by the way, the bad news here is you guys did lose to Tampa Bay in overtime, 13-10 on the road.
Wow. The only thing I remember possibly about that game, Gabe, is it's the only turnover I had in my career. I fumbled at, like, our 6-yard line. And all I remember is our defense holding them to a field goal. I can't remember if that's the game
I don't
not.
Think – so the box score that I'm looking at from Pro Football Reference does not have you listed as having fumbled the football.
Okay.
So it might have been a different game.
That's bad.
This was a Sunday night game in the Big Sombrero.
Wow. I have no recollection of that game whatsoever. None. And that's bad because we are like the number 2 offense. Maybe not in 95. We are top 10 offense.
95, you guys were 6th in points.
But they had a really good D. I mean, that's no excuse, but they're, you know, they were always known for their defense.
But how do you...
So I get where you're going. I get where you're going.
Well, but just because this is such a weird scheduling quirk, right? And I know in 93, you guys played Detroit back-to-back, but that was different because you won a game to get into the playoffs, right? And so you played Detroit back-to-back. That happened to the Packers in Aaron Rodgers' second year where they played the Cardinals the last game of the regular season, then played the Cardinals that first game in the playoffs in 2009.
Yeah.
But this is, it's just such a weird scheduling quirk. I was hoping that you'd be able to help us out of what it's like to prepare.
Well,
okay, are you doing anything different the first time because you're saving things for that second game or how you go about that? And then just to have the serendipity of you both losing in between the two key divisional games, your best defensive player, and for you guys, Reggie White, for this year's team, Micah Parsons, like trying to prepare, I was just hoping that you would be able to help us with that, and for whatever reason, this is the one game in your career you don't remember.
I could tell you this, players like playing teams that close together because then you don't have to watch as much film. Because typically you watch the last game you played against them, and then you watched the last three games they played against their opponent. So in this case, he didn't have to do as much film study because you just – teams, you do what you do, okay? You might throw defensively. You might throw in three blitz wrinkles.
Okay.
Or three D-lineman stunt that you have to deal with. But you're not going, if you played cover two in the game before, you're not all of a sudden going, oh now we're going to play cover three. It's not how it works. You really don't. And offensively, it's the same thing. Especially with a young team, you can't go in and say, okay, I'm going to design 50 new plays for the offense going into this week. That's just not how you do it. You switch things formationally, and you have wrinkles, you know. It's more of a chess match. It's like, okay, how are they going to defend us? That's like them going into this week against Chicago. They have to be going, okay, I don't think if Watson plays, I don't think they're stupid enough to single up Watson again.
Sure.
And go cover zero or, you know, some of the other long plays that they had, they kind of steer away from that. Now, they'll have other wrinkles. But I'd be shocked if they do that again. And Dennis Allen is a good. Where did he cut his teeth? He's a good coordinator. Was he in? Buffalo or Philly?
I mean, he's been all over the place.
Just the Saints head coach.
He was most recently the Saints head coach.
But he's a good coordinator.
Man, he was a head coach somewhere else before that. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, he was the Raiders head coach.
The Raiders.
From 2012 to 2014.
Yeah.
Defensive coordinator in New Orleans. Secondary coach in New Orleans, defensive coordinator for the Broncos. Then he became the defensive coordinator for New Orleans before he was bumped up to head coach, and now he's back to being the DC for the Bears.
I think their approach, Gabe, is going to be, look, Parsons out, clearly their best defensive player. We scored 21 against them on the road. They're looking to score more than that. So my guess is Ben Johnson's going into Allen's and saying, look, you don't have to do anything crazy, okay? Have your wrinkles and things like that, but let's not give up the cheapies for 60 yards, for 40 yards, and things like that. If they're going to score, let's make them earn it. And in the end, I think we can win in a shootout. I really think
that's the problem. This team can't generate a pass rush. The reason why they found themselves in man-to-man is because they try to blitz from time to time to generate a pass rush.
Gabe,
because you can't just let anybody sit back there. Like any quarterback in the NFL that you give time to, they're going to carve up any sort of zone that you have.
I know, but say whatever you want about the Cleveland Browns. Okay? Cleveland Browns beat the Packers eons ago, but they're still a top 10 defense or a top whatever defense, and they scored 31.
If you watch that game, too, that team gave up. The Browns have given up.
Why are you so confident in this game?
I'm not. I'm just telling
you. Yeah, you are.
I'm telling you I watched
the
Browns.
Put it on the poll. Is Gabe overconfident coming into this Bears game?
I'm just telling you, like, because you want to bring up, the Browns beat the Packers how many ever years ago.
No.
I don't care about that because the Browns, I watched that game, Chew. The Browns gave up. Like, the only player, there were two players I thought that were trying hard. Shadur and Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett.
That's it. That's the list.
Yeah.
Like, the Browns gave up in that game, so I don't take anything from it.
Well, I take the fact that the Bears are going to have a ton of confidence coming into this game.
And it's crazy that you want to go, oh, I mean, the Bears, you know. And then when the Packers are playing the Lions, and the Packers beat the Lions to open up the season, you wanted to discount the Lions game.
Gabe, we lose Reggie against Cincinnati. What happened the next week?
You tell me, Chew.
We lost.
You don't even remember it.
We scored 13 points.
The only reason you know that is because I told you.
Fair. I had a good game against Cincinnati, though.
He had a really good game. Adam Schefter joining us next on a Wendorf Wednesday.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
Adam Schefter is brought to us by our friends at Tony Wendorf and Associates, just like the moves made in the pros. Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, help people make their own big moves every day. Trust and knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Always love catching up with Adam Schefter each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, gentlemen. What is going on?
I think we're
trying to stay positive here.
Still licking the wounds a little bit after the Micah Parsons injury. Just how tough is that for the NFL to see two of their top stars in Patrick Mahomes and Micah Parsons go down on the same day with an ACL injury?
You know, I'll say this. On Sunday afternoon, Mahomes goes down. I'm making a bunch of calls. I always like to just sit back and watch the games. Sometimes work beckons. Hopefully that's not the case. On this particular Sunday, unfortunately, it was. So I'm on the phone. I'm making calls. I'm kind of watching the games as I'm on the phone. And all of a sudden, I see Micah. And I'm like, oh, my God. This guy just tore his ACL. Oh, my God. Like, you knew it right away.
Especially once they showed that end zone camera with his knee bending the way it bent. Like, you just, you knew without a doubt.
And then, like, a few minutes later, Puka went down. Now, fortunately, that turned out to be nothing. Puka Nacua, and then Devontae Adams went. Yep. I'm like, what's on here? Like, now, some of those obviously were way more catastrophic than others. But any day that you lose Patrick Mahomes and Micah Parsons, two of the single best players in the National Football League, two of the best athletes in the world, that's a dark day. Like, I don't care what else happens that day. It's hard to muster the excitement that Buffalo's back in it and the Rams are playing great football and the Broncos won their 11th straight. Like, it just casts a cloud over everything to me. It's sad.
Adam, after losing clearly his best player, you think these next three games are going to be an audition for Jeff Hafley in a head coaching job? You think they'll hold it against him if he doesn't do well here?
No, I think he's a head coaching candidate, period, no matter what happens these remaining three games. Mm-hmm. And go in and knock somebody's socks off, or he's not. And they're going to really like him, or they're not. But he's going to be a candidate that I think is one of the central candidates. Doesn't mean he gets a job. He might not. I don't need anything in the final three games or the postseason to change my mind about the fact that there's somebody who gets it, who, again, will be a head coach at some point in the future.
Adam, as we continue to kind of gear up and get closer to that 2031 deadline for the CBA, everybody was always assumed in the NFL, once you added a 17th game, it almost felt like a formality of, okay, eventually they're going to add an 18th game. But do you think, again, kind of going back to, and it's not just Micah and it's not just Patrick Mahomes, but this year 309 players placed on IR through 15 weeks of the regular season. Last year it was 319, and that's way up from 2023 when it was 274 through this many games of the season. Do you think there's any chance the players band together and can actually unify and try to push back on an 18th game? Or is that just going to be a foregone conclusion? That the 18th game is going to come.
I've always thought that it was a foregone conclusion. Again, I think it merits discussion. I think all your points are valid. The injury concerns are fair. When you're coming off a week like this, you say, we're going to do this again for an extra week?
Yeah.
Really? But here's what's going to happen in the end. There's going to be so much money involved, and they're going to amp the schedule. And Chewy, just think about when you were a player. If I had come along to you, let's just say a member of the NFL or the NFLPA, and I come to you and I say, okay, the current structure, under the current structure, you're playing 17 games and getting one bye week. Okay? Here's the deal. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it 18 games, but you're going to have two bye weeks, and there's going to be a lot more money. Would you do 18 and 2 over 17 and 1 with a lot of money? And I think
it's all about the money, Adam, right? Especially if there's a lot of it.
Right?
Yeah. But, Adam, how do they adjust contracts, though? Let's say, you know, because I sign a contract to play 17 games and it's a three-year deal. The next year it goes to 18 games. How does that work contractually?
That's a very forward-thinking question, but we're talking about something for 2031. We're in the year 2025, and we're not there yet.
Sure.
Right? I think there'll probably start to be clauses that say that this gets prorated over time so that if you're getting paid, I'm making this up, $17 million a year, it becomes $8 million.
Over an 18 game. I got you. Okay.
That's what in fact, it'd be very simple for them to just say retroactive, all contracts will be adjusted pro rata, if there's such a word that exists, I don't even know. And again, to use my $17 million analogy, because it's nice and simple and rounded out for all of us idiots, like, okay, the 17-game season just became 18 games. You just made 1/17th or 1/18th more. We're going to adjust you 1 million, right?
Yeah, sure. I got you.
Adam Schefter brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino, premier resort destination, largest north of Milwaukee. With everything you like to do in one awesome location, visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today. There's a huge game tomorrow night in the NFC. You have Rams, Seahawks. You mentioned Devontae, former Green Bay Packer, kind of tweaked the hamstring in their win over the Lions on Sunday. What are the chances he plays, and how big could that be? Because the number one seed, again, the winner of that division, it's kind of like it was in the North last year, Adam. Now, this game ended up happening in Week 18 for the NFC North last year, where the winner gets that number one seed in a bye, and the loser falls all the way down to the wild card. A lot on the line tomorrow. Do you think Devontae is going to be able to go?
My guess is no, but I don't think it's out of the question just yet. I don't think he'll be out there in the end. I think it's ambitious to ask a guy that aggravated his hamstring injury on Sunday to play Thursday night, but it's a huge game with huge stakes, and he's a tough guy. And I saw Rashee Rice on a Sunday go down with a hamstring injury at the end of the game. He couldn't walk, and then he's playing Thanksgiving Day against Dallas, right? So my guess today would be no, he doesn't play, but let's see how the next 24 hours go.
Adam, who's the best team in the AFC? I mean, Denver, you know, had a nice win for their resume, and that's the best probably their offense has played, and especially Bo Nix, all year. Would you say they're the top dog? Or Buffalo's looks good with their win over New England?
Yeah. Here's what I would say to that. I don't know if there's one team that stands out above the others. So to me, I can make an argument for Denver. I can make an argument for New England. I can make an argument for Buffalo because it has the best player in football. Mm-hmm. And I can make an argument for Houston with its defense. I can make an argument for Houston. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I think it's pretty wide open. And it's interesting, and I talked about this in my podcast today, but I always say fantasy football and fantasy golf and fantasy sports, they mean nothing and they mean everything. Isn't that right, Gabe?
Yep.
That and power rankings.
No, those mean nothing. Those mean nothing. Okay, fantasy sports mean nothing and they mean everything because the people who play them, I'm just telling you, it is the most important thing in the world at that time. I feel very similar about Josh Allen in this sense. He's got the easiest path he's ever had to the Super Bowl because there's no Mahomes and no Burrow, maybe no Lamar. But he's got the toughest path he's ever had because he's probably going to have to win three straight road games. So it's the easiest and the toughest fancy means nothing and everything. It's the easiest and it's the best analogy I could use at this point in time with Josh Allen. And there have been two other quarterbacks this century, two that have taken wild card teams to the Super Bowl. Do you know those two quarterbacks? Got a guess for me?
Okay, so what was the first part of it? What was the first qualifier?
Two quarterbacks this century have led their teams to the Super Bowl, the wild card route. Two of them.
So what would that be? Aaron Rodgers and Eli?
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
What year was Brady?
With Tampa.
They didn't win the division that year. They didn't win the division that year, Chu, when they came into Green Bay and won.
Oh, I was thinking New England. Yeah, wow. That's good trivia.
So anyway, the point is, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, like all-time greats. Does Josh Allen fit with us? He does.
That would certainly launch him up there. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, one of his pals, Alan Lazard, no longer a Jet. Is anybody going to try to pick him up for a stretch run, or do you think Alan Lazard just kind of hangs out there?
I hadn't even checked. I mean, Alan Lazard, maybe a steal. You know, on the list of things you could have asked me, I was not expecting.
You were not expecting Alan Lazard?
I mean, if it's anywhere, it's Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I assumed. Yeah. I mean, he's been one of A-Rod's guys before.
I thought you'd ask me about Josh before you'd ask me about Alan Lazard here. But whatever, I was.
Adam, since you're wearing the shirt with all that's gone on at Michigan, are you hearing anything on potential candidates for the next head coach?
I do not have any specific knowledge at all. But I've heard the same names that everybody else does. Like, you hear a lot of Kalen DeBoer talk. You hear a lot of Kenny Dillingham talk. You hear a lot of Clark Lee talk. All I could say is I think in the end, it'll be one of those guys. I don't know which one. But
why are they trying to get DeBoer out of Alabama? I mean, he was up the Penn State job and now the Michigan job. I mean, isn't Alabama the place to be?
Again, this is not my jurisdiction. These questions are better off being answered by Pete Thamel. But from what I gather, didn't it sound like that if Kalen DeBoer didn't win the Iron Bowl against Auburn, that there was a chance he was going to be out?
Correct.
It didn't sound like that. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess.
Right? So I don't know. I don't know how firm his standing is in Alabama.
Okay.
So if there's a program like Michigan that wants you and you can go get out before, you know, you're tossed out. Yeah. And by the way, like I think it's as much that as anything else from what I gather, my outside perspective.
Yeah.
Adam, before we let you go, cause we won't be talking to you next Wednesday. We will not have a show on Christmas Eve. Do you have any holiday traditions in the Schefter household that you guys try to do?
Yeah, always work. Always work for Christmas. Always work for New Year's. Always work for...
Okay, so work. Work is that's the tradition, the holiday tradition for Adam Schefter.
It never fails. It's an amazing thing. I've done this job since 1990, so it's 35, 36 years. And I've worked every Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. And by the way, it's a blessing, but that's the way that my world is operated. And I know that I wouldn't trade it for anything, but some people get to just shut it all off and go enjoy it. It's just never like that.
Especially with the NFL. The NFL's not stopping on Christmas anytime soon.
As they say in the NFL world, there's only one holiday in the NFL, July 4th. That's the only holiday that in the NFL. True. It really is true. So if you want to ask me, I plan to celebrate July 4th with my family this year. We're going to start making plans for that. It's a big holiday coming up.
All right. When you talk to you in June, Adam, I'll make sure that I ask about your July 4th plans, and we'll start planning those with you. But we always appreciate you, my friend. I look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me today. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you, to everybody out there. Appreciate being with you all the time every Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Adam Schefter joins us each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And whether it's HVAC, sheet metal, or welding, Smart 18 members are trained to be the best in the business with top-tier wages, unbeatable benefits, and a lifelong career support. It's not just a job, it's a career. Learn more, smart18.org, and start building your future today. If you guys are still thinking sweater candles and that same old gift, upgrade it with a $2,000 Jewelry Center gift certificate. You can enter now, goodcoverbrands.com/Wisconsin contests. goodcoverbrands.com/Wisconsin contests to win $2,000 in Jewelry Center gift certificate. No purchase necessary. Contest ends December 23rd. Rules online. How about that, Chew, huh? That's our guy, legit. Dean.
The dancing machine? I talked to Dino yesterday or the day before. He's hooking my guy up with a little little present. Dino, you know what? You text Dino. I swear he got back to me 3 minutes during the holiday season
again,
at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's why the Jewelry Center is the best. Because their people are the best, and they are always going to take care of you.
Yes.
And again, imagine what you could do with $2,000 at the Jewelry Center. I promise you that wouldn't get re-gifted, Joshy. Wouldn't end up in the re-gift pile.
Well, who knows? Depending on what the gift is.
I already got one of these, so let's just go ahead and throw it in the re-gift pile over here. Somebody else could potentially use one of these. So, Chew, I got to imagine at this point, because you have, you know, over the years made comments about how, you know, you guys played through a lot of different injuries and everything. I got to imagine at this point, Josh Jacobs is your favorite current player.
Yeah, he's a beast.
The way that this guy just continues to grind.
Yeah.
Here is what he said yesterday, Chew. Because, again, he continues to bang up the knee, but he continues to play through it. Here's what he said yesterday about playing against the Bears on Saturday.
I mean, if it's up to me, for sure, I'm going to try to go. I think it's harder to watch games than it is to play hurt. So, for me, I'd rather try to contribute in some type of fashion, even if it's in a limited fashion. Then just sit there and watch the whole time. So I've always had that kind of mindset.
By the way, after his knee was hit, he ended up having his longest touchdown run of the season in that game against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, back in the, everyone knows about Brett.
Yep.
Everyone knows about the Chicago game on crutches, goes out and throws for 4 touchdowns. Everyone knows about Brett's toughness. But I tell you what, towards the end of the year, when I was feeling beat up or Frankie was feeling beat up or whoever it was, and we'd come in and see Dorsey Levens,
mm-hmm.
Dorse the horse, who could barely walk, I can actually say I would literally feel bad for him. Just the beatings that running backs take is it's the worst on the field. I mean, it really is. I mean, you think of how many shots, how many times they're being tackled. Because you look at receivers, right? Receivers may take a monster hit,
mm-hmm.
but they're only taking one. You know, the quarterback is a statue at times back there and is getting hit. But you're talking a running back that's running downhill against a D lineman or a linebacker or a safety. And force is meeting force.
Well, not only that, Chew, even when they don't have the ball, think about when they have to pick up that free runner.
Blitz pickup.
On a blitz pickup. That's usually a pretty big collision, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just remember those days of Dorse coming in and being like, oh, my God. Like the 10 man, you'd have to oil every one of his joints just to get him able to practice. And they never complain about it. That's the thing. You know? They never cut. I'm talking the grinders.
Yeah.
And Josh Jacob is a grinder. Dorsey Levens, a grinder. You know, Amon Green, a grinder.
Well, it's just one of those things, Joe. I just feel like what he said there probably resonated with you, maybe more than anything any current player has ever said about how it's harder for him to be on the sidelines and watch than it is to try to play.
I can't remember if it was him or LaFleur. One of them said basically those two get into fights about if he should be practicing more and if he should. Because Josh wants to be involved in everything.
Yes.
And Matt's saying, hey, man, I love it. Thank you. But we've got bigger plans for you than a Wednesday practice.
I think, and we'll see what happens the rest of this week in terms of him practicing. I mean, yesterday he would have been a non-participant, but it was just a walkthrough. So it wasn't that big of a deal yesterday.
But
I'm in favor of putting him on the Sterling plan, the Charles Woodson plan. Like, Josh Jacobs does Chad not Clifton. Need to practice. Chad Clifton. Like, he's one of those guys, too, that just doesn't need to practice throughout the course of the week. Try to get as healthy as you can, because we know it's going to bother you the rest of the season. Give it as much rest as you can, and then just give it your all on, I guess, this week Saturday, most weeks Sunday.
The crazy thing is, when I was coaching little Pop Warner football, tackle football early on, every kid wanted to be a running back, right?
Yeah.
Every kid wanted to be a running back. If a parent came up to me today and had a talented kid and said, hey, what position should my son play? The last position I would say is running back. Because not only do they get the crap beat out of them, they don't get paid anymore.
Very few do.
They really don't get paid. So it's just crazy. Then this, and I'm not, this is get off my front yard. I played in the 90s type of thing. And I look at guys and I appreciate guys like this. There aren't many guys that are, we talk about, Jason would talk about Elgton Jenkins. Because I was surprised, in training camp when he was just looking, he wasn't looking for more money. He was just looking for guaranteed money.
Correct.
And I thought he possibly might have sat out and said, no, I'm not going to do this. Another grinder, another grinder.
I love
those guys.
I mean, I think Zach Tom's been one of those guys over the years for the Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, the Zach dude Tom. Tried to play, foolishly tried to play with the oblique injury, against Cleveland, and he lasted a single play, shocker of all shockers.
Yeah.
but I feel like he's been, and I think that's a good thing, I think, for the young guys, because you see the veteran leadership of Josh Jacobs, of Zach Tom. Elgton, I doubt, is here after this season, but I think that has a lasting impact of guys of, hey.
It does, because I'll tell you why.
Part of being like professional is trying to play through this.
Guys like myself would look at like Brett or a Dorsey and like on crutches and then playing Friday, and I'm going to sit out with this. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys would be like, no, if that guy's playing, then I'm playing. I don't think that happens a lot today. So it's refreshing to see.
We want to hear from you. The Packers are favored heading into their game in Chicago. Do you agree? Do you disagree? That's in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.